condition. A good function of this community, I just think, and I want it for a chairperson of the Council of Commission. He could not be here, Advocate Suzanne, but I am here, I'm Commissioner Suzanne, I'm a national base commissioner. And the stream of work that is on the team is required from us is the stream that I had in the commission, being the convener of the leadership and management practices. With me is Nozi Fuagwaza, who is our parliamentary officer here, based here in our office in Cape Town. The reason for not having a big delegation is that we are responding to the cost-cutting measures. We actually sent to Parliament those people that members will be able to redirect within their area of their way. But most of the time, if the chairperson is available, we do sometimes allow the chairperson to come. We really don't have a budget. We want to apologize to the members. We are not disrespecting this committee. I only send one person. And I hope you will understand, because we are an entity that reports to yourself directly, so you understand why we are trying to save money. I hope our apologies are accepted. I will go straight to the presentation.
Is there a comment?
The outline of our presentation here will start the introduction and then the legislation and then the organizational environment, the program, the PSC, the function, gender mainstreaming initiatives, the PSC, gender focal point, employment equity targets, and then we conclude the presentation. We start with this introduction, which spell out the mandate of the Public Service Commission, but fortunately for us today, we are presenting to the very people who are the custodians of this Constitution. The Public Service Commission is established by the Constitution of the Republic as one of the institutions to strengthen and oversight the role of the legislature over the executive and administrative branches of the state to facilitate transparent and effective policy formation and implementation. The institution, we are accountable to Parliament, to the parliamentary committees, not only the Public Service and Administration Committee that we are supposed to account to, we account to all committees of Parliament, including this committee, and arrange for the to this committee. So the portfolio committee has requested the PSC to brief them on the following 5 points as outlined in the letter for the chairperson of the committee. The PSC mandate program and structure, how the PSC deals with the gender mainstream, employment equity targets within the PSC, overview of the gender focal point, and the last one will be the gender equity and stability in the PSC itself. Our legislative mandate, in terms of section 196, subsection 4 of the Constitution, the power of the Public Service Commission is to promote the constitutional values and principles in the public service. So those are the 9 values that are outlined in section 195 of the Constitution. We investigate, monitor, and evaluate the organization and administration and the personal practices of the public service. We propose measures to ensure effective and efficient performance within the public service. We give direction the aim at ensuring that personal procedures are complied with, but these directions are only in the area of recruitment, transfer, promotions, and dismissal. So we don't give directions in other human resource areas and in all the values of section 195 of the Constitution. We report on activities to the National Assembly and the provincial legislature in respect of activities in provinces, either of owner court or on the street of complaint. It happens sometimes that we get a complaint and then we investigate. Or sometimes on own accord, informed by various officers in the society, then we go and investigate. We investigate grievances of employees in the public service and we recommend remedies. We don't issue directives in those areas, and that we issue recommendations and ask to the EAs to implement those recommendations or not implement. But if this is where they don't implement, they are obliged to give the reasons why they are not taking the recommendations. We monitor and investigate, adhere to our procedures in the public service, and we advise national and professional organs of state regarding personal practices in the public service. The EAC is accountable to the National Assembly and direct to Parliament and the provincial legislature regularly, reporting on its activities and the performance of its functions as required by Section 195(4)(e) and Section 196 of the Constitution. It has the main objective to produce, to provide effective oversight over the public service nationally and provincially. And to this end, the Public Service Commission conducts evidence-based research, monitor, and evaluate involving the gathering and collection of qualitative and quantitative data on public administration for use by the legislators and the executive. We're also conducting sessions at service delivery points and public hearings on tropical issues. Recently, the members made aware that we presented in our work in Parliament that we inspected hospitals, we also inspected schools, especially the distribution of books in schools. Our program, the PSC has operationalized its wide mandate around key performance areas in three programs. And these are the only line function program of the Public Service Commission. The rest will be the support programs. The first one is labor relations improvement, which includes a public service labor relations and practices enhanced through timely investigation of all properly referred grievances and provision of best practices. And the recent members will see us presenting, maybe in a month or two, we'll be presenting one of the programs that we did, where we're investigating the issue of discipline in the public service generally, including this precautionary suspension that sometimes take for years. A person sitting on precautionary suspension for 12 years, getting a salary for 10 years, home for all those years. So we have a program like that, which we will present. We have just finalized now, in March. But in April, maybe the Parliament will call us to come present our findings on that. That program falls under this labor relations improvement program. The other one is leadership and human resource review, where we identify and promote sound human resource management and leadership practices in the public service. And then the other one is governance monitoring, where we provide institutional assessment and program evaluations that support policy and management decisions. Members will remember that there was a program that we also conducted under this program, where we were checking the payment of service providers by government departments, whether they comply in terms of paying service providers within 30 days. And we presented that report in Parliament, although there's a lot of non-compliance that was coming out of that report. So that work falls under the scheme of work, which is led by Commissioner Mandy, who is not here today. The fourth one is the service delivery and compliance evaluation, where we provide participation, evaluation, as well as evaluation of the delivery models and processes to support policy and management efficiency. The other program is the public administration investigation, and in this program, we also deal with the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, where we receive a lot of complaints through the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. People reporting malpractices in the public service. People report things like irregular appointments, people appointing their friends and families and all of that. So most of the work went to get from the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. But some of the work we get from maybe members of parliament who know that there is something in their community that is not going right, they give us to investigate and issue reports. And we even get the department coming to us to say, hey, we'll investigate. You will recall that in the media recently came up that Mr. Doyle has actually conduct an investigation in his department, and we did that work and fall under this public administration investigation. There's also an area where we do a lot of work for almost all departments and professional ethics, where we promote ethical conduct amongst public servants through the management of financial disclosure framework. Also the National Anti-Corruption Hotline, we provide advice on professional and ethical conduct in the public service. Remember, we recall that in the new act that has been promulgated in 2020, the Public Management Act, the Public Service Commission that actually pushed very hard and recommended that civil servants must stop in conducting business with their departments. So that is the work that flows out of this. And when we do this scrutiny, we do the financial disclosure scrutiny, we give EAs information after our investigation. There are members of the public service who don't declare their financial interests. And when we pick up that they have not declared, then we inform the EAs and we actually tell them to take disciplinary action against those officials. Because sometimes you find a very junior official working in supply chain, very junior, who is having so many properties, maybe five properties of millions of rand. Mm-hmm. Then when you check, when you do the scrutiny, we find that some of those properties are not even declared. But since we are connecting all the systems, even when people hide their financial interest, are able to get that because we are connected to all those systems. The PSC has a fourth program, which is administration, which I don't think the members are really interested in the running, in the normal running of administration. So our presentation will focus more on the running function. The program of the team is to provide strategic leadership, direction, management, and administrative support to the Public Service Commission. Then the structure, the committee wanted also to know the structure of the Public Service Commission. At a high level overview, the Public Service Commission is an organizational structure. We have 14 commissioners for the whole country. We have 5 based at the national office, and we have 9 commissioners, one for each province. And fortunately, at this time around, all the provinces have commissioners, because most of the time we sit for long periods without having a commissioner for the province, but this time all provinces have commissioners. And we are supported by an office that is structured as a department. We are not saying this is a good arrangement, but that is what we have for now. Our office is structured for effective appears in the schedule of the Public Act as government department, and we have a director general. So we have this branch that is in the presentation on our members, a branch of services. We have these three line function branches that I have spoken about. And then with the provinces, I won't list them by name. Unfortunately, I'm talking to lawmakers here, so you know all these 9 committees that we have in the country. So now, I'm going to talk about the administering initiatives. Why we recognize, one of the members, that gender mainstreaming is not about the employment equity as to how compliant we are with the employment equity. It is also about how we maintain gender in all our programs. So when I talk about gender mainstreaming, I won't only focus about the numbers and things like that, although I will mention the numbers because you have asked us to talk about that. But gender mainstreaming, we have these key objectives of the tasking that we have in the PSC, and it's informed by the 8 principles for promoting women empowerment and gender equality. So the first one is one to promote the advancement of women in the workplace and for evaluation of progress made in this area and advise on how to systematically create an enabling environment for women and gender equality in the workplace. So with these initiatives, the first one is one of transformation and manufacturing. And the PS initiative on this one is to address the origins of reasonable accommodation for women while in offices are relocating to an alternative accommodation. I remember that when we were looking for an office, why was we waiting to get that office? The first address is actually ready to give us the office. We did say that we want an office where we have an office created on the site where women are able to sit at their tea time or lunch time. Those who have small babies can sit there and breastfeed their babies. And those who have young children who are coming back from school, they can drop there, like sort of an aftercare, so to speak. So that women can be able to sit at work with their managers without having to rush home because their young children are coming back from school. So we requested an office space like that. So that women can be able to take management positions without fear of how are we going to deal with the issue of our small children. So the second one is the establishment of a positive environment. The PRC has the code policies and gender ministry. We have a gender policy, we have a sexual harassment policy, we have a mentorship policy. All other policies in the PRC, such as the supply chain and recruitment and selection, address gender mainstream issue. I know that this environment is supposed to be a very heavily regulated environment because if we don't have a good a policy environment, we're not able to achieve what we want to achieve. So in these policies, we are outlining step by step and how to deal with issues of gender in the workplace, how to deal with issues of sexual harassment, and how to mentor women in the workplace so that we don't get a situation where people say in certain positions they employ men because women are not empowered to take up those positions. The third one is one of the meeting of equity targets, which members are also interested in knowing how far we are. In fact, it has been a while now, I think since I joined the Public Service Commission in 2011, the PSC has complied in terms of meeting the employment equity, the 50% of women at the SMF level. At the moment, we're sitting at 5% where we have exceeded. In fact, it has been like this for a while now. For DDGs, for instance, if I mean, to take an example, we have more women than men. We only have one man and we have two women DDGs. And then the part that the PSC is struggling with, we're sitting at 1.46, is the employment of people with disabilities. We haven't been less than this percentage, and we have impressed upon the office to actually liaise with the organizations that deal with disability when they recruit. They do that all the time. They circulate the advice to those institutions to make sure that the people who have disabilities are actually recruited. I remember that one minister there said to us, sometimes when you put an advert for people with disability, if for instance I can't see, I am blind, and you put an advert, I don't even see that newspaper. How will I know? So that is why we decided that instead of just saying, no, we're putting it in the newspapers, we need to actually consult the institutions so that they can be able to inform those people that are in targeted positions. The other one is the principle of creating an enabling environment. Women employees in the Public Service Commission, because we want to mainstream gender in all our work, they serve and chair various committees, like the de-adjudication committees, the quality prevention and risk management committees. These are awarded to women-owned companies who meet the standards requirements, establishment of the tapping on gender, the opportunities for internal promotion, training, and the service. And as I continue the presentation, members, you will see how we try to empower women by giving them more opportunities in terms of benefiting in the service, more than men in the organization. Because we don't want people to complain and say, oh, women are not in power, and that is why we're not employing them. So we want to give them better resources and study and stand further and be in power. The fifth principle of the gender mainstreaming, the fifth PRC decided to accelerate the appointment of females at both senior management studies and in the middle management studies. This has led to the PRC exceeding half the disappointment in the target, as I have indicated here. The focus on the appointment of females at the management level, medium level, enabled the PRC to achieve succession planning for females in the PRC. And if members may ask, why are we really exceeding the number in the SMS 11? Most of the people that we employ at SMS 11 is the people that are coming from the middle management, because we put them in middle management and we try and put mentorship programs so that we can prepare them to be ready for the shift at SMS 11. Now also learning networks were established to share information and lessons learned on the work of the PRC. Future initiatives include hosting diversity management workshops and training all staff on gender mainstreaming. And these workshops actually include men. There are a lot of men that we also workshop so that they can understand all these diversity issues and gender mainstreaming. The sixth one is empowerment. Workshops were held to empower staff on the sexual harassment policy. There was a focus training on women in leadership in the organization, and also training on conversations with men with women in leadership and emotional intelligence. Those were the workshops that we conducted. Providing adequate resources. In the 2014-15 financial year, 36 veterans were awarded to women. Female employees were also identified to attend an international program for development and evaluation in Canada. I think one of the members, the PRC is actually versed on issues of making sure that women mainstream gender and also meet employment targets. And I think we are being assisted also by committees of this parliament, because we don't have control over the appointment of commissioners ourselves. But when you look at the PRC at the national level, where we have five commissioners, three are women, only two men are in the commission. And I think that is the work that can, good work actually, that can be attributed to the work of this parliament, because we cannot actually take credit for that work, because it's not our way. But knowing that it's something that needs to be done and it's something that needs to be achieved, we have achieved it. Accountability, monitoring and evaluation. The work of the task is maintained into the work of PSC. The task team reports are tables and management and PSC to connect with the issues and tools developed to monitor and evaluate the impact of courses and workshops. PSC also maintains that when implementing its oversight mandate in the PSC, and in this regard, when assessing the merits of grievances in the health service, we analyze grievances that we receive. And when we look at the grievances that we receive, we check how many women are grieving and why are they grieving. What are the areas where we find most of the women grieving about? And we have those statistics, and we find sometimes that they grieve about the issues of performance management generally in the health service. Because when performance is being addressed, sometimes the woman would be on maternity leave for 4 months, and when the person comes back on maternity leave, we'll find that sometimes a male supervisor will rate the woman lower because, yeah, you know, you were not here, you were away for 4 months and so on and so on. Although there is a policy framework to make sure that women are not being disadvantaged. So when we analyze the reports to check how many women are grieving, what is it that they are grieving about, we find that sometimes they are grieving about issues of leave, not being granted. But sometimes women, they need to take family responsibility leave. I mean, with the scale of HIV in the country, for instance, you find that women are caregivers in their own homes. They have people that are sick, and they need to take care of that. If they adopt children, you know, they are the ones who need to get more days than men. So that's why we're analyzing these differences. On recruitment, there are departments who are determined that they are going to have a voice club in their department. They are not going to employ women. So most of the time, women grieve about those appointments when they they are overlooked and men are appointed when there are capable women and qualified for that men to be appointed. So that's why we are analyzing these grievances. That's to see why are women grieving, why are they not happy about. The PSC has over the years conducted research on employment equity in the public service and has published a report on affirmative action. In 2006, we had that report. We also had gender mainstreaming initiatives in the public service, that's in 2006 report, and the assessment of disability equity in the public service in 2002. So we have been doing work around the issue of gender mainstreaming. In particular, the PSC had at the time found that there was not a strong enough commitment within the public service beyond numerical targets to create the necessary enabling environment for gender mainstreaming and gender equality. In fact, during this report, although it is the old report, but as we are reading this report again this year before we presented to this committee, we discovered that some women don't want to take positions in senior management level. Really, being that they have small children, if a senior management position requires someone to travel, for instance, and the female member has a child, it's difficult to travel with the child because there was no framework to make sure that a senior manager, who is a woman who has a small child, is able to travel with the baby. Because I mean, these days the hotel would have facilities, for instance, for children. But there was no policy framework. I think that's what this report was showing. And we also did assess whether good management tools are in place to ensure that employees are empowered and provided with the necessary support to contribute to the achievement of the department's objectives. Then the 8 women employment principles are applied in the department's action plan towards gender equity. Then, the gender focus point in the PSC, the work on gender mainstreaming issues is included as part of the individual special program officer. Due to the size of the organization and budgetary constraints, the PSC does not have a dedicated unit to gender focus point. As such, a task team has been established and chaired by the Deputy Director General to oversee the work of the focal point with membership from all levels in the organization. The DG reports to the PSC on the progressive realization of gender equity in the office on a quarterly basis. Just before we have a quarterly dinner, the DG will be required to report to the PSC. And then employment equity target, a vacancy rate in the office of the PSC as of 7th March 2016 was 10.4%. And the reason why we're having this, although it is within the norm, is because of the budgetary constraints. It's difficult to fill all the vacancies because there's just no money to do the work. So we decided that some of the positions we should just hold till until some time we have enough budget to be able to do the work. All post of commissioners are paid. Representativity profile of the PSC and its office. At the SMS level, with the commissioners, we are sitting at 51.2%, with commissioner's subsidy 7.1%. MS level, we have from the head of the office, we are sitting at 1.87%. The office of the PSC has exceeded the target of appointing females at SMS level. Furthermore, out of the 3 people, 2 are female. Although the PSC forward all advertisements to the organization for the disabled people, South Africa, the Employment Commission is still having difficulties recruiting people with disabilities. Hence, the time of 2% has been in touch. So, I think less than 2%. Here, this slide, you have to remember, I won't talk to the whole slide, but this slide is actually showing you know, a employment equity trends analysis for all years, as you can see, from 2008 until 2016. So we are showing where we are sitting in terms of disability. But from the side of employment equity, from the side of women, you can see that as from, because on this slide, we're not only analyzing SNS members, we're also analyzing people sitting at middle management from 11, 9, 11, 12, and the percentages that are shown, and also the disability targets as well. In conclusion, honourable members, the PSC has managed to achieve the employment of women in SMM positions and has increased its internal targets to 5% to minimize the underperformance in the end of resignations or retirement and other service termination circumstances. The reason why we don't want to sit at 50% we want to exceed. We don't want a situation where one female resigns, then the targets go down. So all the put a target that is higher so that if a person presents a case, we don't feel that we have kind of performed in that. So the PS is also outward looking that it monitors constitutional values and principles in the public service under the principle of representativity. The PSC has indicated the effect of female representativity and employment of people with disabilities. The PSC also publicly assures the performance agreement of head of department. The PSC ensures that gender neutral issues are reflected in such agreements. For instance, honourable members, in the past, when we received a performance agreement of an HOD, whether it's a member or maybe in a province, they would not actually affect the HOD on the principle on gender neutral. So now we are requiring them to be assessed on that. The HOD cannot sit and not be affected on this. Because if the HOD performs in all other areas, we find a situation where the whole department is actually a bond club, but the HOD is viewed as someone who's performing. So we have actually pushed that this be put in the government agreement of all HOD, including the HOD for PSC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Thank you for the presentation. Mine is just one concern and second. The Commission is also looking into the advancement and the promotion of women. I'm concerned about women who, when they are pregnant, they go to deliver their babies. When they come back to work and get promoted, we find that they are frustrated in the sense that they will be given a shift which are not conducive for them to be having babies. For instance, a shift where you have to work. Go to work at 2 a.m. and then come back maybe at about 10. Now, in an environment or in a unit where there are a lot of men, but they will choose to give a female person to go and work, what plans can the Commission have to accept? Because a lot of other women have decided to leave the department so that they can go and nurse their children rather than being given a promotion at the same time.
They are the agents, the person, the commission. With different departments. Let's take, for instance, hospitals. In hospitals, to start with, hospitals are empty. You know, they are long queues there. And I don't know when you call the Department of Health, what they say when you ask these questions. The working conditions, they are not conducive for the nurses, even for the workers or nurses, just to work in that environment. The issue of crashes in different departments, even in hospitals, you find that there are younger nurses that are supposed to nurse there. They were supposed to have working areas. Whenever you we talk about your own commission, where you are also asking for accommodation. You can ask for accommodation. You support it, your right to have a place in that commission where mothers can let them. It's a right that we fought for in the 80s. We won that right with Kosovo. But it is because you have changed the name to say a crash is an accommodation. It can be an accommodation. It should be a crash, an aftercare center for mothers to bond with their children. When they come to work, they bond with them, even if they are not being nursed in terms of the breastfeeding. But they bond with their children. And then when they come back from school, they must be transported back into that aftercare. And then the mother collects the child from there to wherever. It makes it easier even for that mother to function because you know where your child is. Especially now that kids are being raised in your absence. You see? So if young mothers can start making sure that they fight for their own rights. You know, I was fighting with my daughter saying, it is your right to fight. Not that I should fight for your rights. If you are complaining to me, and I was saying, it is your right too. It is not only fight for you to be in those positions, but we also fight for you to fight for your own right to be mothers. You see? So that's it. All these departments, public commission, you are supposed to demand good working conditions for public place people. The second thing that we also need to be, the department does everything the way we want it to be done. But the first part is the first part who is also supposed to follow on your footsteps, who is going to do what we want them to do. Because it's the thing that it is a favor that they are doing us a favor to implement political government. Gender policy, sexual harassment policy, and mentorship. All those mentorship policies are in the indicators. You have them as a commission. But they're not translating the departments. We don't see women being elevated, you know, to better positions that have been sitting there for a number of years, sitting in hospital cleaning. You know, I was giving the DPSA an example of a cleaner. A person becomes a cleaner for 30 years, no improvement. You know, a person becomes a better child for 30 years, 40 years, in that employment. It's just unfair. There is no growth. There is no growth in the public sector for ordinary women that are sitting there that we expect you to upgrade, even to challenge management to ensure that they come up with policies that are going to mentor these people to get a position. And why is it possible for you to be commissioner there? We fought for you to represent even other women. You are there to represent other women, not only yourself, but ensuring that all policies of government are upgrading other women who can speak for themselves. I can talk about your commission. My concern is schools. You know, schools in the Eastern Cape have no toilet for 20 years. And those are the things that you go and oversee. I don't know. That's what you go and do. As you say in your presentation, you go and inspect. What do you inspect? Only books. But those kids must go to the loo. They must ask themselves, how do they read when you are fed? And you don't have a place where you can take out and then relieve yourself. So if departments are not building those facilities, how will our kids read? How will they concentrate, you know? So we can't continue to have schools that we don't have for them when you are there as a public safety commission, you know? And department budget, maybe you need to check their budget if they have budget for maintenance. Schools are collapsing, you know? There is no maintenance of schools. And schools don't even look like areas of schooling. They are really, I don't know, they haven't even started in them because some of them don't have You see, so you can't call it a school if it doesn't have a friend, because the children are not protected there. So the working condition of the teachers there, which is something that you must also complain about when you call the Department of Education, that if you can't have a school that does not have a friend, you have the right to subpoena them and to account so that they do properly for the condition of the public safety.
Yeah,
I was not clear.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you to the Commissioner. I just want to find out, you know, I have a situation in my, now I have a position to observe in the situation in my constituency, whereby, you know, we're in the electric state throughout. And women are always the forefront at the city, and when you talk about, you know, issues like traffic, it seems to be very, but now, like, not only the boreholes in those areas are not serviced. They haven't been serviced for a very long time. And the issue in Smithfield, talking about Smithfield and Rubber, the issue of water has been there for a very long time. It is not the fact that, you know, their hands have had rain. But the fact that, like, you know, the municipalities are doing their part, they find themselves constantly in a situation where they don't have water. And also in that zone, there is sewage everywhere. There's an area that got sewage, they've been having sewage in that area of 1611. And it's affecting, again, the women are affected because it affects children and it affects the elderly. So now that, you know, you're saying that, you know, you are there to oversee the department, and I'm sure you are also responsible to see that municipalities do their job. Like, you know, I'm planning to maybe look at my issues in my position.
Next one.
Chief Rice, the platform.
Matthew,
Chief Rice, face.
This young lady.
Can I check if there's any recent that is positive that you have collected?
Yes, it's a phone will always be there. Okay. Majesty, whoa. Switch on your mic, but push it up. I think I'm done. I think the woman affects her.
Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the presentation. My question is whether do you advise other departments to have initiatives like taking a disabled person to work, like it has been done in other initiatives, like taking a gay child to work, rather than waiting those organizations to respond on to your address. The other question is, as you have said, that as TFC, the city has difficulties in recruiting the people with disabilities. That is why you yourself have not yet met the target of 2%. So how do you think other departments would do, because according to your numbers, your targets are dropping each year since 2008. And the other thing is your main objective is to provide the effective oversight over the public service, national and provincial. As this women portfolio committee, we find it so frustrating that the departments do not meet their target on the employment or the placement of women in senior levels. Let alone the people with disabilities, they don't even bother at all for them. So whether you only monitor and evaluate the departments only, what about the municipalities? Do you have any reports on municipalities on the employment of women in disabled persons? You also said that you also conduct the inspections at service delivery. Now we are seeing many protests from last year with regards to service delivery in the country. So how is this happening? Because mostly we are seeing women being the one that are in the forefront in all those protests. Thank you.
We never ask if those disabled people are male or female. The majority are male. I wouldn't be surprised. We never ask. We always say people with disabilities. We never even. No, I'm just saying we are in Kumbuz and we say that this is a 2% target. But we never ask. I'm not sure if you remember when you asked department if they are made of female.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of them. What is the
So, any more questions?
Maybe to add on that, you think that this 2% is enough? Because they found out that many disabled people are there, they're always increasing in our society, because we have seen people that have been increased on accidents, road accidents, many accidents, which is creating more than 2% is enough, or but we know that 2% is not enough for the whole time. But anyway, we would like to hear from you. Thank you.
I'm still interested to know how you classify people as disabled.
Yeah.
To then ensure that you, even when you look at the employment area, you care. And I'm not ashamed to say most of them are academics.
Mm.
But it's just that there are certain things they can't do. Even here in Parliament, we fought like hell for grades. And people were given old, dowdy machines, and when you said that tagger, it would take you to sweat blood to have them prepared.
Why is government not making the target of restructuring structure to keep people with disabilities? Why, even 20 years down the line, there is a structure that people can go into the building, can make there. I mean, all those things that they are doing that they can't employ.
If they can't take care of the very people employed here, who are women, because all those paid areas were just catering for men. And women's shoes are being broken. And nothing is being done about it.
Yes.
People have actually injured themselves.
Yes, it's
probably
true. I see you last
in public training. I swear. Also on the age of Parliament. You know, in Parliament, I've only seen too many his agreement is working in the whole parliament. Only two. Whether you also have any monitoring on the issue of parliament.
I'm declaring war.
The building is there, not even have a kitchen.
We wash our cups in the toilet.
We wash your cups in the toilet.
It's okay.
Because it was a men's building, it was a men's club. Men don't go to the kitchen, they don't even sit in the kitchen.
I think this is my proposal because we're running out of time. If those answers, written answers, email them to secretary. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for being a nice little guy.
No, I'm not.
But we won't pronounce. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for delaying you. Not right now with the whole team. We have to be in there.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Oui, attends, je vais. Oui, attends, je vais.